to item three. This is the director's report. I think today it's going to be the deputy director's report. Amy?
Hi, thank you, Chair Carpenter. Happy to be with you all here today. The director continues in negotiations around North of Falcon, so he's not able to join us, but he says hello to you all. I'm going to start with some of the good news. So the governor did sign WFW's budget. Our structural deficit has been resolved, which puts us on sound financial footing, even as we begin to address the upcoming hard times that we anticipate. We receive more general fund than ever before, which is an incredible recognition of the broad-based funding support for our mission. The legislature provided $27 million in state general fund from the supplemental operating budget that will fund the department's core services through June of 2021 and allocate significant resources for new work. The ongoing dollars are very close to fully funding today's need in out years. It's a huge improvement. Since the legislature passed its budget, about a month went by as the governor's office continued to review the budget. As you know, in that intervening month, COVID-19 hit the state of Washington, and we began to see our economic forecast begin to collapse a bit. The governor's office made approximately 150 vetoes throughout the 2020 supplemental operating budget to begin to align the state budget with the anticipated loss of tax revenue. The areas vetoed were described by the governor as proposed appropriations in new investment areas. He vetoed about $235 million, but it did not impact current service levels. We anticipate the governor is going to convene a special session to begin to align the state with the budget revenue and perhaps tap the $3 billion of state reserves in order to respond to the COVID-19. On the policy side, House Bill 2571, our enforcement civil authority bill, which provides officers the option to cite low-level fish and wildlife violations as an infraction versus a misdemeanor, passed. And Senate Bill 6072 separates the state wildlife account into a flexible account and a restricted account, which helps us with visibility around our structural budget challenges in the future. So out of this legislative session, there were a lot of really positive outcomes for the Department of Fish and Wildlife, and we just want to appreciate all the partners that we had in getting this budget, both the nonprofit groups, the conservation groups, the hunting groups, everyone who served on the BPAG, as well as state agencies like the Puget Sound Partnership, RCO. We really worked together to ensure that Department of Fish and Wildlife is strong moving forward. I just want to take a minute to say this is good news in the middle of a pretty tough time. The director has been focused really in the last month on North of Falcon and PFNC meetings, many meet and confers throughout the last month. We've also significantly ramped up our internal communication with staff as we have moved to mandatory telework, as we have seen the closures across the state. So our time as executives has really gone into keeping our department moving forward despite an enormous amount of change. I want to call out our CIO, Matt Oram, and his team. They have almost seamlessly moved 1,800 people to remote work. It's an impressive thing. We are now loaning out our IT team to other agencies because they are so amazing. So we continue to participate in supporting other agencies as we ourselves are being able to move forward. I have kind of two other updates. One is for those of you who track our estuary restoration projects in Puget Sound, the Fur Island Restoration Project reached a milestone. After 10 years of collaboration, the Skagit County Consolidated Dike Drainage and Irrigation District 22, District 22, NDFW signed the final paperwork transferring ownership and operation and maintenance responsibilities for the Fur Island Farm Estuary Restoration Project infrastructure to the district. This is a big deal. So this infrastructure consists of 5,800 feet of dike, tide gates, a 7-acre drainage storage pond, and a pump station. So we were able to collaboratively restore the Fur Island project, and now we've handed back to the diking district for long-term maintenance and all of the infrastructure that we sort of modified in order to make that project happen. In addition, I know there's a lot of interest in the fleet reduction proviso, which would have included $573,000 for DFW to work with the fleet to structure a Columbia River gillnet fleet reduction program and conduct a phase one bid this summer. That was vetoed last Friday. We will not be receiving that money. But despite the veto, our team is pushing forward with this important work Our contractor, Kim Gordon, and the internal team have made progress this winter and spring evaluating other programs and looking at lessons learned, identifying key components for the program here in the Columbia. Next week, we'll be meeting with commercial fishing advisors on the 13th and with members of the Columbia River Willapa and Grays Harbor Gillnet fleet on the 16th to share our work and get some feedback on our approach. And then finally, Commissioner Graybill swooped me, but we are celebrating the retirement of Jim Brown. Jim Brown has 28 years of service with the state. He started as an enforcement officer. He ends his career as the Region 2 director. He has, I just can't say enough things about Jim. He's really lived a life of service. He's given an enormous amount to this department and to the constituents, to his management team. He is, he's been a leader for us at EMT, to just an incredibly calm, good decision maker, a collaborative person. He's transformed relationships in North Central. I am so sad that he is leaving the department, and the director and I are both wishing him well. He is moving on to a position at Chelan County. So please feel free to reach out to him. His last day is next Wednesday. And with that, I conclude the remarks.
Any questions of Deputy Winthrop? Thank you, Amy. We will now move to agenda item four, 2020 game setting seasons. This is a decision. It says Anise, is that who's handling this from staff?
Oh, hey, Chair Carpenter, I screwed up a little bit.
Okay, we can back up.
Okay, sorry about that. I realized that I was supposed to give a COVID-19 update. Let me do that real quick, okay?
Thank you.
So, you know, the commissioner spoke about us moving forward, and we are also moving into that realm. I just want to also talk about how we made these decisions, and we had essentially three guideposts in making these really hard decisions about closures. Our first guidepost was the governor's order to stay at home. Our second guidepost was information from local health officials about what they needed for their communities. And our third guidepost was our authorities and the ability to execute fisheries and hunting seasons in a way that was enforceable. We know this is really hard on our sports folk. We know it's hard on our staff, and we want to move back to normal operations as quickly as we can. So as we look forward into May 4th and we think about what we can do and how we reopen our lands, we have essentially three prongs that we're doing. The first one is reopening opportunity. We are working with, we're convening a group of anglers and conservation groups and hunting groups next week to begin to talk about how we're going to reopen our access sites, reopen opportunity throughout the state, and to do that in a way that is organized and enforceable and that has the guidance that we need to keep people safe. So we're beginning that process. We've convened an internal team to begin to look at how we're going to structure our internal work to make sure those opportunities can ramp up as quickly as we can. And the other piece that we're doing is we're normalizing our internal operations. So as we move forward in reopening the outdoors, we also need to start thinking about how we bring people back to work. So the bringing people back to work is hard to know exactly how to do this, because what we know, and I can ask for help here from Commissioner Thorburn, but essentially, you know, we recognize that this disease is going to be with us for at least a year, year and a half before there's a vaccine. And that means that as people come back to work, people will continue to get sick. And so what is our process for making sure that our staff, as they begin to interact with the public and they are doing their field work and they are sitting in offices, that we know how to manage that? So we're looking to figure that out in the next month. We are also working very closely with State Parks, DNR, and the governor's office to do this in a way that is seamless across all of our state lands. So there may be ways to phase this in that make the most sense. And we're just at the beginning of this process. So now is a good time to have guidance from the commissioners and to think about how commissioners might want to be engaged with us in those three efforts, the normalizing our operations, working with State Parks and DNR, and then reopening the outdoors and how we do that. The final piece is that we really urge our residents to continue to obey the closures and to keep our land safe. We have officers out in the field, and they are continuing to encounter people walking around posted notices, going around police tape that's deployed. We've got anglers throughout the state that are out fishing, and we ask you to please cease. We had one officer encounter about 50 people just in one small area. So please, if we can all work together, we know this is hard, but if we can comply now, it would just keep our lands safe at this moment. We do worry a lot about vandalism. All right, so I'm going to stop there, but I did want folks to know that we're now looking forward to figure out how to undo that which we had to do at this moment. And I'd be happy to take any questions, or we can talk towards the end of the meeting. Back to you, Chair Carpenter. Sorry about that.
Thank you, Amy. Unless someone has something they need to say now, maybe we could do a wrap-up and cover the content of what Amy just shared. Is that okay? We are now moving to